You're listening to audio from the West End Community Church in McGregor, Manitoba.
Obviously, we don't have enough time to dive into Daniel. I was in Toronto this week and just spent a good deal of time in Daniel chapter 5. And I'm super excited to preach on Daniel chapter 5 because I have never in my life preached on that story, the writing on the wall. And so I want to do my very best to do justice to it. So we will postpone that for next week. But in my devotions this week, I was just kind of randomly reading through some Psalms. And every now and again, I just love turning to the Psalms. If I've had a bad day, if something is kind of going on in my life or I'm wrestling with something, the Psalms are where I just, that's just where I go. And I want to point out to you a Psalm that I read this week, and it's Psalm 57. And the interesting thing, if you want to turn there, I just want to read Psalm 57. Let's read that together. I'll read it. You can just follow along. But Psalm 57, before I read it, I just want you to kind of notice, it's interesting because I don't know if you've got some kind of headings at the top of your at the top of before each Psalm. In my Bible, it says, to the choir master according to do not destroy a minikim of David when he fled from Saul in the cave. So this was a psalm or a song that David wrote when he was fleeing from Saul, when he was fleeing for his life, when he was deep in the cave. And he wrote, most historians think that he wrote kind of at least three songs or psalms in the cave. He wrote Psalm 142, Psalm 57, and Psalm 34. And the interesting part of that is that I think that that's kind of in reverse. I don't know I'm not God, so I don't know how the Bible is put together. But that's almost like it's in reverse, because if you look at Psalm 142 is dark. David is, man, he's scraping the bottom of the barrel. He is right there. He is in desperation. Psalm 57 is kind of when he turns the corner and he starts to kind of make that long climb up the ladder towards restoration of relationship. And then Psalm 34 is really the culmination of that climb that he makes. And you'll notice that Psalm 34 verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord continually. His praise will always be in my mouth. Psalm 57 is sandwiched right in the middle of that. And I just want to read that together with you. It says, "Merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge till the storms of destruction pass by. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills this purpose for me. He will send from heaven and save me. He will put to shame he will put to shame him who tramples on me. God will send out his steadfast love and his faithfulness. My soul in the midst of lions, I lie down amid fiery beasts, the children of men, whose teeth and spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. Be exalted, O God, among the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. They set a net for my steps. My soul was bowed down. They dug a pit in my way, but they have fallen into it themselves. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody. Awake, my glory. Awake, O harp and lyre. I will awake the dawn. I will give thanks to the Lord. among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations, for your steadfast love is great to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. David is obviously, I mean, if you follow that progression, you go backwards from 142 to 57 to 34, David is, he's at his lowest in Psalm 142, and it just seems like there's nothing that can be said. There's nothing that can reconcile where he is. And then he gets here, and you can kind of see where David is going. He's on his knees, but he's climbing, trying to make sense of his situation. He's still down, but the difference between Psalm 142 and Psalm 57 is that in Psalm 142, he's looking down, and in Psalm 57, he's looking up. That's the difference. You see where David's eyes are? They're not on the ground. They're not on his situation. I mean, verse 5, be exalted, O God, among the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. In Psalm 142, he's saying, I'm in the cave. I am at the end. There's no one on the right hand or the left. I have no one who cares. But in Psalm 57, something has changed. And instead he's saying, you be gracious to me, O God. I am stretched. I am pulled beyond my limits. I need you to meet my needs. You know what he's doing? In Psalm 142, he's wallowing. He is stuck in the mud of his situation. And he has no idea how he's going to get out. In Psalm 57, what he's doing is he's calling out. He's crying out for someone to help. He's crying out for his God. He's making a declaration, really, of dependence upon his God. That's the difference between those two things. Those two Psalms. The difference is that in Psalm 57, he makes a declaration and he says, God, I am dependent on you. I need you. I wonder what the difference between those two Psalms, or what changed? What was it? What was the turning point? Someone suggested this. Someone suggested this. David, it was because David hurt enough to admit his need. And when you are hurting, you need to declare it to someone. And you need to especially declare to the Lord. David hurt enough to admit that he needed help. And secondly, he was honest enough to ask for help. And that is really different from society. Society says, you know, do it yourself. And we have lived so long under this idea that in our generation that we don't need to ask for help. We're prideful and we don't want people to help us. We want to make it on our own. But really, that is contrary to what the Bible says, because the Bible says that we need to admit our vulnerability and our need. And God honors that. He did then and he does now. And I would say, thirdly, this, that he was humble enough to learn from God. I think it's tragic that we can live in one cave after another, after another, after another, and not learn what God wants us to learn in the cave. Because let me tell you something, God never wastes an opportunity. and he will teach you on the mountaintop, and he will teach you in the cave. But it is important that we listen, because there is a lesson there. David was one who had his ears perked open in Psalm 57. If it's to be a cave, then let's not fight it. Let's turn it into this idea of God bettering us for the future. You know, you look at that time in David's life, if you study it and you read through 1 Samuel, I just can't help but reflect upon the parallels between David's life and Jesus' life. And Jesus and the coming of the glories of heaven to accept a bunch of cave dwellers like you and me and David. That's why Jesus came. He didn't come for the healthy. He came for the sick. He came for you. He came for me. So what we need to do more than anything else is recognize that we have a need. And whether you, it doesn't matter. If you're on the mountaintop or you're in the cave, you have a need. And so what we need to do more than anything else today is first recognize that and admit that we have a need. Be honest enough to ask for help, to know that we can't solve it on our own. And also be humble enough to learn the lesson that God is trying to teach us. I know that's quick, but just some of the thoughts that I had this week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it has been good to hear from you today. And so, God, I just think of the worship team leading us in worship and Gary and his thoughts, and for Brad and Carissa sharing about what God is doing in their lives and their willingness to serve anywhere that you place them. Thank you for Naomi's song, Father. Thank you for Victoria and Alicia and for what they shared. And thank you that we could come to the table this morning. This has been a good service. It's been a good opportunity to worship you. And Father, I pray that this week, as we go to work, as we go to school, as we go home, that we would live for your glory. We ask this in your precious name. Amen.